3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin.
And Isaac.
And I'm Nerd Bomber.
And I'm Tectic.
Please welcome our special guests, Nerd Bomber and Tectic from Online Warriors Podcast. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to come join us for this episode and our spoiler episode next.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're really excited to be on your show. We're avid listeners. I mean, we always love to support our fellow indie podcasts. We're from the Online Warriors Podcast, as you mentioned, and we do a show weekly where we talk about basically the latest news in technology, gaming, movies, all that kind of nerd culture stuff. So watching shows like this and binging and then listening to you guys talk about it is one of our favorite things to do every week.
Happy to be here.
I am so glad to hear you say that. I mean, I don't think of us as like popular or anything, so it's always nice when people actually tell me that.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, as a small podcast, I feel like we always do this kind of stuff because we really love it. We love talking about all of our interests and stuff, so it's always nice to hear when people actually enjoy your podcast, and we definitely enjoy yours.
And more importantly, we all love to make that little indent on the couch, just sitting there for hours binging.
Oh yeah, I have my spot and Isaac has his spot on the couch.
Yeah, it's very nice.
We have a spot war going on. There is a optimal spot in the living room. Nerd Bomber's winning.
So this is going to be a guest introduction part. So could you guys talk about yourselves a little bit and maybe share with us some of your favorite shows or movies?
So I am Tectic. My favorite show and or movie. I'm going to start with movie, actually. I kind of go with the flow, as in my favorite movie is constantly moving. It's basically what I've recently watched because I think I have the memory of a goldfish. So I'm just going to talk about something that I'm really jazzed about lately, and that's the Sonic movie that just came out, specifically because I was incredibly expecting not a lot from it, and watching it, It did not disappoint, and it was far better than I want. And I dare even would say far better than a similar movie such as Detective Pikachu. So I recommend that movie. It was a good time. And then as far as my favorite TV show, well, that's a tough one, but I'm going to have to go with The Office. The Office has become a timeless show that everyone has watched. It's completely relatable. Even this year's Super Bowl referenced it several times. It basically had various cast members sprinkled throughout different commercials, and that just goes to show how timeless and relevant that show always is.
And I am Nerd Bomber. I'm a giant nerd, I feel like. My favorite movie, I really love Disney Pixar movies. Even though I'm an adult now, they're still like, I'll go see them all day one when they come out. My favorite Disney movie overall is The Lion King. There's just something like so emotional about that movie. And I still remember as a little kid watching, I mean, at this point, it's not so much a spoiler, but watching that like incredibly tear-wrenching moment when Mufasa dies was just like the worst thing in my life. But it was like the first time as a child you really start to feel emotions like that watching a show. In terms of TV, I like to take it a little lighter. I'm more comedies. I like The Office, as Tectic mentioned, but one of my other favorite shows is Chuck, which is a spy show featuring Zachary Levi that was on. And it was kind of more of like a cult classic. It didn't have great ratings, but it was one of those like Netflix sleeper hits that became popular after the show actually ended. So those are probably my two favorite shows. And then when I'm not binging stuff, I'm usually like gaming or reading, stuff like that.
Ooh, what games do you play?
I like to dabble in a lot of like story driven games. I do play stuff like Rocket League, but I'm really invested in gaming as like a storytelling medium. I feel like it's really interesting how the interactivity complements a good story. So like I just finished up playing A Plague Tale: Innocence, and the gameplay itself wasn't super great, but the story was so riveting that I blew through it in like a week, and it was such a good game.
That's awesome.
Tectic, what are some favorite games that you like to play?
So right now I am playing through Dragon Ball Kakarot, and it is hitting me right in the nostalgia. So I grew up watching Dragon Ball. I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z. I even watched Dragon Ball Z GT, Dragon Ball Super. I'm still watching it as they continue to release. It is truly my guilty pleasure. So I guess it's a little bit nostalgia, but it's a little bit still a big part of my life. I'm just a Dragon Ball nerd, I guess you would call me.
Look, there's no shame in liking Dragon Ball. It's popular it's fantastic. For a
reason. There is shame in liking any anime.
No, but what's interesting about it is, so now that I'm playing it, and a lot of people have been asking me about it and what it's like if they didn't know what it was, and I always thought like all of the different characters in it were kind of just normal, but it's certainly interesting to explain them to other people. For example, Mr. Popo, just this guy wearing these baggy pants, and he hangs out up on a tower that's supported by the tiniest little narrow shaft, hundreds and thousands of feet in the sky. Like, things make no sense, but it's just a wonderful show, and all of the characters, as strange as they are, just come together to make the show great. So I'm loving that. I'm loving the nostalgia factor, and the combat side of it is great. The fishing mechanic is a little strange because Goku shoves a tail up his bum. but it seemed like a necessary thing. They also had Gohan do it, but for whatever reason, Vegeta uses a regular fishing pole. I don't know why they're different, but I digress. And then when I'm not playing video games, I've lately picked up a hobby to try to get more into woodworking because it just seems like a calming thing to do, but it's very daunting to get into it because there's a lot of tools and things that you have to obtain.
Oh, so like, are you interested in making like wooden boxes or chairs or something?
Don't know yet. I'd like to do tabletops. I've been looking into a lot of the natural wood epoxy tables. If you've seen them, they have like rivers running through them.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is it's a lot of large scale fixtures and jigs to get everything nice and flat. And so, like I said, it's a daunting task to get into it, but hopefully over time, you know, get this tool here, buy it there. I think I'll get to it.
And I will note that that hobby of his was also inspired by binging a TV show because we were binging Parks and Rec and he really connected with Nick Offerman, and Nick Offerman is super into woodworking. So that piqued his interest.
Ron Swanson would be so proud of you
right
now. That's
where I thought this was coming from when you were like woodworking. I was like, I bet you guys watched Parks and Rec recently.
So fun fact, Nerd Bomber got me a Valentine's Day present, which was a woodworking diary / bio / instructionable by Nick Offerman, and even has comic strips in it. So like, he is, I guess you would call him my spirit animal. But so love the guy, love the show, love the hobby.
Isaac, honey, you are a huge gamer yourself. Do you want to let them know what you've been gaming on before we move on?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm a little embarrassed. Because I've been playing, well, okay, so I'm embarrassed of playing Diablo 3 so much recently, but I was playing The Witcher after watching The Witcher, because I really liked the story of the show, and I was like, oh, you know what's better? A video game. Video games have better stories because you can branch and do all sorts of other stuff. So I was playing that, and I don't know why I stopped. I guess I wanted something a little more mindless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I've never actually played The Witcher, and I've heard amazing things about it, but I feel like it's a very involved game, right?
Yeah, for sure. Especially The Witcher 3, it's very open world, so like, you just kind of, I mean, there's definitely a story there, but there's so many like little stories in every little village you go to, so there's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you toss a coin for your Witcher?
I mean, you are The Witcher, so you're constantly, you know, begging people for money.
Good.
Where can people find you guys on social media?
So you can find the Online Warriors podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. On Twitter, I think that's where we're most active. Our handle is at Online Warriors 1. And then my personal Twitter is at OW Nerd Bomber and Tectic.
My personal Twitter is at OW Tectic.
Alrighty. Thanks, guys. So we are going to move on now to our Whatcha Bingin' segment, something that I started this year that I actually really enjoy. So this is basically each one of us tells each other what are current shows that you're binging on. And they don't have to be current, just stuff that you're just watching at the moment.
So I've been binging Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I know the show is actually, the latest season is airing now. But I hadn't really gotten into the show until the last couple months, and then we started watching it on Hulu, and it's amazing. I'm a huge fan of the workplace comedies, like I already mentioned. Like, I love The Office, Parks and Rec, stuff like Scrubs. And so Brooklyn Nine-Nine just hits that sweet spot, because I feel like there's not a lot of workplace comedies on air at the moment. I think it's really just that and Superstore. And it's just so funny. It's so lighthearted, and it's something that you can sit down and watch in like a 30-minute chunk, and you walk away, and you're like, you don't have to follow a storyline from week to week, and it's just super funny. I love the cast. It's a great ensemble comedy. So that's what I've been watching.
So for me, as you know, Nerd Bomber and I live together, and so we binge things together all the time. So I'm going to pick a different show, and I'm going to circle back to my The Office, because I've watched repeated episodes time and time again, and I want to give a shout out to my absolute favorite character. Most people would say it's Michael Scott, but it is not. My favorite character is actually Toby, for a multitude of reasons. So Toby is the HR representative, and you could tell he just doesn't want to be there, and he's had enough of Michael Scott's nonsense. And originally he was not supposed to be a regular on the show. He was just kind of a stand-in for a couple of episodes. He's actually part of the producing crew, but they liked his character so much that they kept him on for all the seasons. And one, that's awesome to hear. Two, he's just this sarcastic, I've had enough of your nonsense personality that is just so relatable. Everyone's got this one over-the-top person in the office, and there's always the counter to that where it's this kind of person, and it's just yin and yang, and I love it, and they have just great camaraderie together. So shout out to Toby, shout out to The Office, best character on the show.
So for me, recently I've been binging on Blackish. It's an ABC family comedy. So it's currently on season 6, and the weird thing is, so we have a Hulu subscription, so I recently binged like seasons 2 and then 3, and then I can't remember why I skipped 4, but then I binged 5 and 6, and now I'm going back to watch season 4 because it's just hilarious, and I always learn new things every time I'm watching an episode. And I actually don't mind jumping around with comedies like this, where it's pretty episodic. There's not too much that builds upon every episode, so it's easy to jump around depending on your mood. Isaac watches some of it occasionally with me. And then Castlevania season 3 is actually gonna come out on March 5th, I believe. I think the day that I'm going to plan on publishing this episode that we're recording. But we did our Castlevania episodes last fall, I believe, around October or something. And so I'm just really excited about season 3, man. Also, if anyone's a fan of Castlevania, they should totally check out our binge episodes on that.
Shameless
plug. We'll have
plug.
To check that out. I listened to your episode on it, but I just haven't gotten around to watching the show. And I feel like now that the new season is coming up, I'm going to have to catch up.
That's the biggest thing for us, is we love to binge so much so that we hold off watching any shows until all episodes ever are released.
Until they're done.
I hate being in that, you know, you binge, and then you have to stop and then wait a season. It kills your vibe. It really does.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can do that for some shows where I keep up with it week to week. And then there are some shows where I don't care as much and I can totally wait until it's all done to binge, like a Big Bang Theory. I still need to finish it. And it's been over for like almost a year now, right? So I still need to finish binging on that show.
On that note, I've been I've been binging two shows depending on how much time I have. If it's a short amount of time, I fit in a Venture Brothers episode. If it's a long amount of time, I'm rewatching Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which is a Aaron Sorkin show. And I will watch anything written by Aaron Sorkin.
So Venture Brothers, that's done, right? They're not making any new episodes with that, correct?
I don't know. There's a season that I haven't seen yet, which is why I'm rewatching it.
Because I watched a lot of that show as a, I guess in the 2010s, as a young lad.
Right. You would be surprised that it's been on for like, I don't know, 10 or 11 years and has like 7 seasons or something. Because they don't do this whole like one season a year thing.
I have to circle back on that. And it never kind of petered out. It's always kind of had that great quality action kind of weirdness, yep. We'll call it.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, So did you see the season where they were in New York?
You're circling back 10 years. So I'm going to say yes and naively just shake my head.
You're like, what? No. So, yeah, it's a I actually feel like it is sort of getting better as time progresses.
Okay, then I definitely will have to circle back on that show.
I will say I also agree with you and your love for Aaron Sorkin, because I feel like everything that he's done is just some of the most engaging television or even movies that I've ever watched.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like The Newsroom, I think we binged that 2 years ago, which was another show. I mean, I think it ended in 2014, but we didn't get around to watching it until a couple years ago. And we flew through it, and I was sad that it was over. Like, I wish there was more of it to watch.
The right? Newsroom was so amazing.
Yeah.
It's so relevant, too, in everything.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I love his shows. It's crazy.
I mean, I liked The West Wing whenever I saw episodes of it. I'm not really big on Studio 60, though.
So what is that show about? Because I don't remember that one.
It's Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip is... Okay, so it came out the same year that 30 Rock did, and they're both shows about a late-night comedy show, sketch show. 30 Rock is a comedy, and Studio 60 on Sunset Strip is more of a drama comedy. Like, it's funny. Yeah, I was like, it's funny because it's a show about comedy, but it's, you know, also an Aaron Sorkin show, so it's very dramatic.
It came out after Friends, because Matthew Perry stars in it, and then...
Along with Bradley Whitford.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of people from Aaron Sorkin shows in it because, you know, that's how it works.
It's interesting to me that didn't take off as much. I mean, although it's kind of in the same vein, he also did Sports Night, which was kind of a similar feel where it was taking a look at basically your typical ESPN sports show.
Right.
And for whatever reason, like, that was only on air for 2 years, too, and that didn't take off. But it was also an incredible show.
I know.
Why don't you just start an Aaron Sorkin podcast?
Well,
and you can fangirl all over him.
The
later.
West Wing Weekly is already like taking the West Wing, and they're a much more popular podcast, so I feel like it would be pointless. All right.
Okay, you done?
Yeah, I'm
good. All right. We are here to talk about The Good Place. The Good Place is an NBC comedy about a group of people who have died and arrive in the afterlife. The Good Place. It's created by Mike Schur. The show ran for 4 seasons from September of 2016 to January of 2020. So, you know, just last month. But honestly, it didn't feel like it was that long ago. 2016 feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that this show came out 4 years ago at this point. Because I remember when it first launched, it seemed like it was so fresh and new and got so much just critical acclaim, and there was so much buzz around it that it's crazy to think about that it was only 4 years ago.
This is our spoiler-free episode where we finish watching the show, and we're going to give you a spoiler-free overview of why we think geeks should watch it.
I do want to say that The Good Place is a great show, and it's I guess you could call it mainstream now because it's gotten so much critical acclaim. But it's not what I consider traditional geeky, but I still think it's got something that geeks can like about it.
Well, so, I mean, Can you imagine the pitch meeting for this show? It's like, okay, so there's these four dead people and we want them to discuss philosophy. How do you guys feel about that? Well, what's the format? We think it's going to be a half hour comedy. Right.
Yeah, this is one of those shows that, like, when it first came out, I kind of wondered to myself how this got greenlit for primetime TV shows and, like, that 30-minute slot, because it feels like it should be so much deeper of a show. And, like, the concept when I initially heard about it was just like, oh, that seems a little bit odd for your traditional comedy slot. But I feel like it ended up working out really well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the topics could potentially have been, you know, taboo, you know, high-strain topics, but they somehow pulled it off. And they pulled it off well.
I agree. So the creator of the show is Mike Schur, and he also created two of our favorites, Parks and Recreation and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He also wrote episodes in The Office and Saturday Night Live.
So it's no wonder that we liked it so much. He basically is, like, everything that we like.
Right. He's making all the stuff we like. And so it's not surprising that he also created this show.
So when he's looking for his next character, now that he knows I'm the embodiment of all of his brain children, well, he's got someone in mind.
There you go. You need to send him a resume.
At OW Tactic.
Moving on to the cast, we have our main characters and then we have our supporting characters. I'm going to start off with the main characters. Kristen Bell as Eleanor Shellstrop, aka Veronica Mars. If anybody's a fan of Gossip Girl from 2007 to 2013 or 14, Kristen Bell actually narrated the character of Gossip Girl. And then, of course, she is also the voice of Anna in Frozen.
Responsible for all of those catchy tunes that your children listen to over and over again.
All right. And so then there's William Jackson Harper as Chidi Anagonye.
He didn't have a whole lot on his IMDb page, but he was in the Midsommar film that came out last year. I think it was a indie horror or something. I didn't watch it, so I that, can't. That's
Chidi right. In a horror film. Yep.
Yeah. Jamila Jamil as Tahani Al Jamil, and I was the most intrigued when I was reading about Jamila, because she did so much stuff before she started acting in The Good Place. She was a writer. I can't remember which publications she wrote for, but she was a journalist, and she was also a DJ, and she's a model. Of course, she's so gorgeous and freaking tall. And she also taught English. I think she taught, she was an English teacher in the UK.
That's a pretty crazy resume.
Right? I know, right?
That sounds actually kind of like Tahani.
Right?
I never think she was like an expert of all these different things.
As you were describing it, I was like, oh, so they tried to base her character off of her then. Interesting.
Manny Jacinto as Jason Mendoza. He had a really long filmography on his page. The ones I mentioned here are that he guest starred in a bunch of notable shows, at least notable for me. Once Upon a Time on ABC, iZombie on the CW, Wayward Pines on Fox, and then The Good Doctor, which I think that's CBS.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think I heard that he was cast in the upcoming Top Gun movie, too.
Oh, yeah. So that's coming up. That is really cool that he landed that.
Just saying, he's my favorite character by far.
Jason is the best. And then Darcy Carden as Janet. She's also been in Barry and Broad City. Ted Danson as Michael. And of course, everyone knows Ted Danson, so I'm not going to read his entire filmography, but he's most notable for Cheers in the 80s. Becker, I believe, in the mid 90s.
Like at least the late 90s.
Late 90s. Damages, CSI, and Fargo. And then we also have our supporting characters played by Mark Evan Jackson, Tia Sikar, Jason Manzoukas, Maribeth Monroe, Maya Rudolph, and Adam Scott. I just want to say I really, really, really loved Adam Scott in Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. I feel like he's such a versatile and great actor. Like, he can play the bad guy, or he can play, like, the fun nerd in The Office. Like, he's had so many great roles.
We had this section touch on it. It's the why we chose to binge this show and talk about it. So I just changed it up to say, okay, this section is why did Chinlin chose this show to binge and talk about? Because let's face it, I pick all the shows. Occasionally, Isaac will pick some.
So
cough, Chernobyl.
So this really stems from. Almost all of our other preview episodes, she's like, so, Isaac, why did you choose this show? And I go, I didn't.
Hey, someone has to drive the bus, you know?
And then I'm always like, well, I asked you if you wanted to do it, and you said yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good pick.
I chose The Good Place because I feel like it's a very unique kind of comedy, and there's not many other shows. I can't think of any other comedies that tackle philosophical questions like The Good Place does. It really makes you think about life and the afterlife. It makes philosophy sound cool. I never took philosophy classes because my parents wouldn't let me minor in philosophy. But if I did minor in philosophy, I would be a total nerd for that stuff.
It's one of those topics that really, like, you can go down wormholes and just, it bends your brain for so long if you want to really dig into the details of philosophy. And it's one of those things where you could literally, I think, study the topic forever and still have more to learn and discover.
We are going to move on to what are some of the best things that we like about this show.
So for me, kind of what you said, that this show was so unique, and I feel like in today's day and age, there are a lot of really good TV shows, but they're all kind of samey. Like, nothing super breaks the mold. They all kind of fall into a specific category, like your family comedy or your family dramedy or your cop show or something like that, or a lot of game shows now. And this was something that felt truly unique and really broke the mold. Like you said, there's really nothing like it that currently exists, and I feel like having these all-star actors drive the show and tackle some of the hardest questions and just get people thinking about philosophy and stuff that they normally wouldn't think about in these nice bite-sized chunks that are funny and endearing was just great. And I think the ensemble really worked well together. They had super great chemistry, and it just made for a really great all-around show.
My favorite aspect of the show is basically what I like to call the A-team theory. You got a ragtag bunch of individuals that came together to not only become friends, but save the day. And that is something that a storyline that I always find tried and true that always works together. I love it when people of different backgrounds, different personalities mesh together to form some cohesive unit.
Actually, Tectic, I'm so glad you named that as the best thing you liked about the show, because when we were doing our research just earlier today, we came across a few YouTube videos that kind of said the same thing about the four characters coming together, but they're all individually different and they have something unique to contribute.
Yeah, and so this is actually a subject that's been explored for centuries, kind of pioneered by this idea of the four humors. Like, there are four kind of distinct personality types, and these personality types are kind of universal, and you can kind of caricature each one, but we're all a mix of the four. And so, for example, there are dozens of examples of these four humors, but the one that's kind of most prevalent in my mind is like the Ninja Turtles. Like they each have their own kind of personality, and you've got the same sort of thing going on here in The Good Place.
I was thinking support, tank, ranger, and warlock. But time and time again, right? Those four always circle back, whether it's through your Borderlands team or through, like you said, the four humors, or through even, like I said, the A-Team or The Good Place. It always comes back to these four things being totally different, meshing together. Yep. That is timeless.
And so to build on that, the thing that I liked about this show, and this is something that I normally kind of rag on other shows for, but this show has a very good storyline flow. There's not really anywhere in the show where I go, oh, they forgot about this thing. Well, there's one place. Like, they introduce Chidi as this guy that speaks French, and they kind of let that go later. But everywhere else, like, the universe is very consistent. And that's something that I find is very hard to do, and very few shows actually accomplish it. And I feel like this show has done it well. And I feel like we're probably making this show sound more boring than it is, because we keep talking about how it covers philosophy and makes you think about philosophy. But it is a really funny show.
All the great parts of this show, too, are spoiler heavy. So if you do want to hear how fun and entertaining is it, you could check out the spoiler version.
Right. Absolutely.
Alrighty. And then for myself, one of the best things I liked about the show is that this is more character heavy, but also no spoilers. The show just helps break stereotypes about people of color characters that you typically see on television. And it's been reinforced so many times in other shows with two of our characters, Jason and Tahani. Like, Jason is the dumb Asian guy. But like in so many stereotypical people of color caricatures that you typically see, it's going to be, oh, the Asian person is going to be super smart and knows math and can play the violin and all that stuff. And I'm glad that we don't see that here. It's very refreshing. And for Tahani, I don't know. I feel like there's not too many shows that just star a woman of color in the main cast with actual, like, speaking parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like she's a very integral part of the team, and she gets her own story beats, and that's super refreshing to see.
Oh, exactly.
All right. Well, I think we've covered everything we need to cover for our spoiler-free episode. Thank you all for listening to the Binge Wolves podcast. We hope you will join us on this binge-watching journey.
Yeah, and you can find me, Nerdbomber, and Tectic at the Online Warriors podcast on Twitter at OnlineWarriors1, or individually at OW Nerdbomber and at OW Tectic.
Alrighty. Please make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time. The Bingeables podcast is produced by patron Raymond G. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.